This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
I'm going to make a couple requests. Thank you. I didn't have to make the first one. Thank you. Okay. My second request is this. Alhamdulillah, this is a time where we're all enjoying ourselves, socializing, having like one of the best meals I've had anywhere in the world because I am in Dearborn. Mashallah. Surrounded with blessings. But I want to make a request just to kind of focus on what we're really doing here, okay? You guys ready for my first request?
Yes.
Okay. My first request is I want to ask everyone in this room to set an intention. Set an intention of why we're here. What do we hope to gain? Now, maybe we came because we wanted something nice to do on Friday night. That's okay. It's all halal. Maybe you wanted to get a nice meal. That's also okay. It's all halal. But I want you to take the next few moments to silently set an intention of something you hope to benefit and something you hope to take home with you and something that you hope to benefit others with. Did everyone get to hear that? The second request I have is I want to ask everyone in this room to make a dua. I want you between you and Allah to actually just ask Allah to give you that thing that you came to see and to make this time beneficial. I only have a few minutes with you. We only have a few minutes together. But to make this time beneficial for yourselves and for others and for every single person in this room, and so that we can help those people who this amazing organization are working to help. KBK, I was actually very impressed. Before I give you guys a few moments to make your intention, I was very impressed by this organization, mashallah. Number one, I'm always impressed by an all-women organization because I find that there's something really, really unique about women-led organizations. We're really good at it, mashallah. We're just actually very, very good at it. And women have certain, and this is just completely through a lot of experience with various different people and organizations and traveling the world, women have a certain set of skills. And when they come together for something they really believe in, it's amazing. And so I want to really applaud them for that, but I want to also tell you why I'm most impressed by them. When we are sincere, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts barakah and blessing in our efforts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies our efforts. And that's really what I feel like I'm seeing with this organization. This is an organization that has really, really made it a commitment to the people that they're trying to help in other parts of the world that are less fortunate. The type of food that we just had, people in other parts of the world cannot afford that. And that's why they've come together to serve those people. And what really, really impressed me is 100% of what you give to this organization actually goes to those people. And you really never see that. And that's because they put from their own efforts and their own pockets to pay that overhead. And that's really something that I think really makes them stand out. So I ask you to support KBK. I intend to support KBK, inshallah, my family does. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to continue to bless this organization. Because so long as we are sincere, Allah puts barakah on our efforts. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala multiplies whatever we do. All right, so now I'm going to pause. And I'm gonna ask you to do this silently, please. I'm gonna ask you to do those two things I asked, to set an intention and to make a dua. So just take a few moments quietly to do that, please. Without talking, inshallah. I'm not going to call out table 20. الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. So as I was sort of reflecting on what I really wanted to share today, an idea came to my mind about something that a lot of us, I think, struggle with. How many of you guys know who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is? Everyone raise their hand. Who's Allah? Our creator, our sustainer, our Lord. Every single day we turn towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if we are practicing and we pray to Him. Am I right? Yes or no? But, good. But, do we really know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Here's the thing about Allah. We cannot see Him. We began, our forefather Adam and our foremother Hawa began with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They could see Him. They could converse with Him. But we can't do that anymore. And so now, all these years later, we've been sent out to this earth and we've become, in a sense, disconnected from Allah in a physical sense, right? No one can see Allah. Am I right? And so this herein is the test. The test is that you and I have to live this portion of our life, and it is a very limited portion of our life. The Prophet ﷺ talked about this life like a rest stop. You know when you're traveling, right? You're driving down the highway and then you need to stop to eat or use the restroom and you just stop for a few minutes. He said that this life is like that. He said, what am I? He said that I am like a traveler who stops in the shade of a tree for a while and then continues on his journey. So right now we're at that rest area. That's called dunya. Okay? It's called dunya. And by the way, dunya, the word dunya, you know what it means? It means that which is lower. And so hayat dunya literally means the lower life. We are currently in the lower life. Why? Because there is a higher life. And that higher life we haven't gotten to yet. And inshallah, we all hope to get there. And that's the life of the hereafter. So right now in this lower life, we are disconnected from Allah in a physical sense. We can't see Him like Adam could. We can't talk to Him in the same, in the physical way. So now, there's a separation that has happened when we came to dunya. And you know what that's done to the human being? Do you know what that separation has done to the human being? It created a vacuum. An internal vacuum. Do you know what that means? There is an emptiness inside of us. There is an empty spot. There is an empty place inside every single human being. And I'm not just talking about every Muslim. I'm not just talking about everyone in this room. I am talking about every single human being has an empty spot inside of them. An empty place in the core of their heart. Why? Because we were created by Allah for Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. What does that mean? If you ever reflect on this, I know most of the people in this room are Arab. You understand what this means, but have we reflected on this? وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. We have not created jinn and human beings for any purpose except عُبُدِيَّ. What does that mean? Does that mean that all we're supposed to do all day is pray? Is that what that means? We have to think deeply about this. If Allah is saying that I have not created you for any purpose except to do ubudiyya, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is He saying we're supposed to live our lives in a masjid or in a cave like a monk? And the answer is absolutely not. That's not what it means. What it means is something much deeper. It means that we were put on this earth. Rather, we were created in order to know, love, and willingly and lovingly submit to our Creator. That's actually the purpose of our creation. And ubudiyyah, or worship, does not just mean prayer. It is not just what you do in the masjid. And I'm going to tell you a hadith that's actually going to blow your mind. And it has everything to do with what we're doing here. And that hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ said that the most beloved person to Allah, now I want you guys just to imagine, who's this person, right? The most beloved person to Allah, You're going to imagine someone who lives their life probably at the masjid, maybe spends a lot of time in i'tikaf, always reading Quran. And these are amazing things. These are amazing acts of worship. But you know what the hadith says? The most beloved person to Allah is the person who is the most beneficial to others. The person who helps others the most. The person who benefits others the most. The person who sees a person, another person in need, and helps them. Who sees another person who is hungry and feeds them. Sees another person who's going through a difficulty and removes that difficulty. This is what the hadith says is the most beloved person to Allah. And then watch this. The Prophet then says that I prefer, not the Prophet is talking about himself. He said, I prefer to help my brother in need, or sister obviously, than to be in i'tikaf in this masjid for a month. That is intense. Everyone should reflect on that. What are we doing here? We are here about service. We are here about helping some people who are suffering and who are hungry in other parts of the world. And the Prophet said that he preferred to help someone in need than to be in i'tikaf for a month in this masjid. And by the way, he's not talking about the masjid in Dearborn. He's talking about Masjid Nabawi in Medina. That's intense. And so when we talk about what of Allah, a slave of Allah, as I am a wife, or a husband, or a mother, or a teacher, or a doctor, or anything else that I'm doing, a daughter, a son. And that's what I really want to talk about. How can we start to see Allah while we are in this rest stop of dunya? And so I want to just give a couple examples, and I want to begin by something that is on a lot of people's mind right now, and that's coronavirus. I want to talk about it. Because recently, I try to sort of avoid news, to be completely honest with everyone. And that is, there's a specific reason I do that. I believe that when we become too hyper-focused on negativity, it becomes not only unhealthy, but it debilitates us. It actually paralyzes us. It makes us unable to actually act. When you hyper-focus on negative things, have you guys ever been, you know, a time in your life where you have a problem and all you think about is the problem?
Yes.
And all you talk about is the problem? And all you, you know, all you write about is the problem? All you make dua about is the problem? So basically you become enveloped in what? The problem. Let me ask you, what happens during that phase of your life? Are you relaxed? Is the thinking about the problem and talking about the problem, is it making you relaxed? Anyone? Y'all have no idea what I'm talking about? I know, we're Arab women and we all do it. When you hyper-focus on the problem, it grows. It actually grows arms and legs. It starts to become bigger than it is. It starts to envelop you. It starts to drown you and paralyze you. And so it isn't healthy. And it will not make you effective. And of course you're going to say, but you have to be informed. Yes, be informed, but do not hyper-focus on negativity. Because when you do that, you do not become effective to anyone. You actually become paralyzed. Very important. So recently, there's been, you know, a lot of stuff about this coronavirus. And there's been a lot of panic. I'm about to go to the UK, inshallah, in a few days. And there's been especially a lot of panic coming out of the UK. You know, questions like, are you still coming? You know, because like when there's a plague, you're not supposed to leave and you're not supposed to go. And, you know, all this kind of stuff. People are very much panicking. And so, putting aside fiqh, you know, the fiqh of it and everything like that, I want to actually talk about something deeper. And that is, when these things happen, things like a plague, things that are so scary that we completely feel are out of our control, what can we reflect on? What can we learn in those circumstances? This is an example of how we can see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? I'm going to give you a few reasons. because it shows us how vulnerable we are and how desperately we are in need of the protection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No human, you can wash your hands all you want. Go ahead, wash your hands. I'm not telling you not to tie your camel, you know? You all know what I'm saying, right? Wash your hands 50 billion times a day, it's fine. But at the end of the day, we can wash our hands all we want. But if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has something written for us, we cannot prevent it. There's a hadith that says that if all the people were to gather together to harm you with something, they could not harm you except if what Allah has written for you. I'm talking everyone in the world has come together to hurt you. They would not be able, they would not have the ability to hurt you unless Allah had written it for you. Unless it was by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And similarly, if all the people came together to harm you with something, right? It could not, unless Allah written. And the other way, if everyone had come together to benefit you with something. So people want to come together and, you know, give you something to benefit you somehow. They could not accept what Allah had written for you. Do you know what this is called? Tawheed. This is called Tawheed. You know what the problem is? We don't really understand Tawheed. Because we think Tawheed is just to say La ilaha illallah. It's very easy. We know how to say it when we're 2 years old. But Tawheed is actually seeing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in everything. Seeing that what's going to protect us is Allah. It's not me, it's not what I do, and that doesn't mean that I don't tie my camel, right? We all know the famous hadith. The famous hadith is that the Prophet ﷺ saw a man, he didn't tie his camel, he asked him why, he said, because I have tawakkul. So what did the Prophet ﷺ say? اعقلها وتوكل. Tie your camel, and at the same time, put your trust in Allah. By the way, a lot of us misunderstand this hadith. You know, I've actually heard this hadith misquoted as اعقلها ثم توكل. Do you know what that means? That means tie your camel and then put your trust in Allah. That's not what the hadith says. The hadith says اعقلها وتوكل. And as you know, in the Arabic language, when you say well, it means at the same time. You're not tying your camel and then you put your trust in Allah. We're not washing our hands and wearing masks and hiding. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who can cure us. And that brings me to another one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's attributes. This is how we see Allah, through His attributes. Allah is a Shafi. That He is the only one who can heal or cure. There is no medicine that can heal and cure. It is Allah who uses the medicine to heal and cure. That's Tawheed. That is what Tawheed is. And so this is one example. When we see the vulnerability that we now feel, it should actually push us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it should push us to recognize Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's power. And the fact, I have to just tell you this, when I saw that photo of Mecca empty, when I saw the Kaaba empty, I'm telling you, it gave me chills. It actually was a chilling photo. And I thought it was like photoshopped. And especially because I was just there in January. And I literally, it was like my family and I, we came home literally as all this began. And I just realized that subhanAllah, it is Allah who controls. I can plan all I want. I have a friend. God bless her soul. I have a friend right now. She is trying everything to go make Umrah right now. From the UK. And like, she actually already has her ticket. She bought her ticket, she has her visa, and they closed it. And she's just like, well, no, maybe they'll, I showed her the photo, I said, sister, like, it's empty, you know? But she so badly wants to be there, and she has tied her camel. She has put in her effort, but who's in charge at the end of the day? And I don't think that has ever happened where the Kaaba was empty, like what, since Quraysh? Think about it. Or what, I mean, I don't know. It's an unbelievable sight. Because no time of day or year is it not full. And someone is always worshiping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the Kaaba. To see it like that was to me like a sign of Allah's qadr. A sign not just of His qadr, but of His power. This is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If He wants to close the Kaaba, He will close it. Yes. You know what I mean?
Yes.
That was like, la ilaha illallah. That's the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when He opens, no one can close it. You know what I mean? Like all the nations can come together and decide they want to close the Kaaba. It ain't going to close.
Nope.
Right? But if Allah decides, it was empty. I was like, that is the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We need to go back to la ilaha illallah. To recognize that we are the abd and He is the rabb. That we are the slave and He's in charge. And if we're missing the point right now, and we're thinking it's just about getting sanitizer,
no.
Do you feel what I'm saying? If we're missing the point right now and think it's just about getting sanitizer, then that is tragic because we've missed the point. Get your sanitizer. Buy a year's supply of sanitizer. It's not what I'm saying. I'm saying let's not miss the point. These are signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I'm not going to say they're signs of His anger or His mercy. I'm going to say, because the Prophet have said that these are both punishments and mercy. So we don't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will and His reasoning and His wisdom. But what we do know is that these are the signs of Allah's power. And they are signs and reminders of our need for Allah. Are you guys understanding what I'm saying? They are to remind us and to bring us back and to wake us up. Because a lot of us are sleeping through our lives. I'm going to repeat that. A lot of us are sleeping through our lives. A lot of us have our life on this thing called autopilot. You know what I mean? Just going through the motions. Just going through the motions. I wake up in the morning, I get my kids ready for school, or I go to work, or I go to school. I cook my maqluba. I love maqluba. I've recently really, really learned to make good maqluba. I just want to say I'm very happy with myself. Because I'm Egyptian. We don't make maqluba, so that's really impressive. And we are just in autopilot. We are living just like we're going through the motions of life. We open our social media. Even the way we go through our newsfeed is like autopilot. We're like zombies, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, yes.
Does this look familiar?
Yes.
It's like an exercise,
yeah,
of the fingers. Just, we scroll, we walk, you know, it's almost like we're just living our lives sleepwalking. And these types of things happen to wake us up. I'm telling you, the Kaaba being empty should wake us up. That if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to block us from His house, there is nothing you can do about it. No matter how many visas you have, and how many tickets you have, and how many packages you've paid for. Because I'm seeing it right now. If Allah wants to close that opportunity to Him, there is nothing you can do. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in charge. So, sometimes these things happen to wake us up. And we're going through life, we get very caught up in life. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَنْهَاكُمُ التَّكَثُرُ. You've become distracted by this collecting of things. What do we collect these days? Well, we all know we collect money, but we're now collecting likes. We collect followers. We collect praise. We collect, you know, happy comments, and boy do we watch them. Oh, I have a notification. You know what I mean? We are very distracted by collecting stuff. And that's exactly what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says. أَنْهَاكُمُ التَّكَثُرُ. That you've become distracted by this collecting of stuff. حَتَّى زُرْتُمُ الْمَقَابِرُ. Until you, and He doesn't say go to the grave, He says visit. Until you visit the grave. Why does He say visit? Because it's just a stop. It's another rest area. Let's make dua that it's a rest area for us. Allahumma ameen. And not a torment for us.
Ameen.
But it all depends on, have we seen Allah in this life? And I am saying seeing Allah with your heart. That you see la ilaha illallah all around you. When you're living your life, you're seeing that's Allah. That is La ilaha illallah. It's not just I need to wash my hands more, I need to wear a mask, I need to avoid this, this, and that. We're missing the point. And again, I repeat, we are told to tie our camel. The Prophet ﷺ said, tie your camel at the same time as put tawakkul, as having tawakkul. But we are missing the point. Allah is the one who protects. And it is only Allah. And Allah is the one who cures. If God forbid we ever were to get sick from anything, who is going to cure you? Well, they don't have a cure to this virus. Right? There isn't a cure. There isn't a vaccine. Who's going to cure you? Again, Ash-Shafi. This is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to start realizing that as Muslims, it's not just about, you know, going through the motions, but our entire focus is on our money and our status and our parties and our fashion and what people are doing and what people are saying and what they're commenting on our social media. Think about what we're focused on in our life. Think about what you're focused on. Think about what I'm focused on. Think about it. Reflect on it. And hakum takathur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us that we're distracted by this accumulation of stuff. They didn't have social media then. They didn't have likes and followers, but we got that now, right? To add it to the things that we collect. But is that it? Is that our focus? Because I promise you, every single one of us is going to return back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We can't see Him now, but there will come a time when we will stand in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's a fact. That's a fact. Are we prepared for that? Do we even think twice about Allah in our lives? I'm going to tell you something else very powerful. How many of you know someone who on their deathbed was unable to say La ilaha illallah? You guys know what I'm talking about? I think everyone's heard some story. What happens at your death? Do you know what happens at your death? There's a phenomenon that's very powerful that happens at death. And that is that whatever is actually inside of our hearts, whatever we fill our hearts with in this life, it comes out at death. I want you to reflect on that. This is why if a person has filled their heart with money, or filled their heart with their business, or filled their heart with rage and hatred, that these are the things that will come out at death. And those people who fill their heart with Allah, they are able to say La ilaha illallah. Because La ilaha illallah is actually a privilege. It's a privilege. Not everyone can say it. Just like in your grave, when you're asked who is your Lord, if I ask you that right now, everyone can answer, even the children. Who is your Lord? It's easy. Allah. What's your deen? It's easy. It's Islam. Tell me about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It's easy. These answers are easy, right? But why is it some people can't answer in the grave? When these exact questions are asked, I don't know. The answer is I don't know. People say I don't know. It's because they didn't live it. You know what I mean? It was autopilot. It was something we just said with our tongues. We didn't live it. It wasn't in the heart. And now that brings me back to this empty place we have inside us. I told you that our separation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a vacuum internally in every single human being. What does that mean? It means that we go through this life trying to fill that emptiness. Every human being is trying to fill that emptiness. And some people go to drugs to do it. This is the reason we have addiction. If you want to peel away all the rhetoric, this is actually the reason. It's because a person didn't know how to fill that empty place. They have an emptiness in them, and they don't know how to fill it. And they don't realize that the reason they have that emptiness is because they're no longer with Allah. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنْسِ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. What does that mean? It means that's our existence. Our existence is about being with Allah, knowing Allah. If I don't know Him, and reject him, then that means I'm not fulfilling the purpose of my existence. I'm going to be extremely empty. And that emptiness is actually going to drive me crazy. I've recently been reading a lot and hearing a lot about people with addictions. And this is in some way what they're saying. That they are constantly in pain. That there's an emptiness inside. And they're trying to fill it. Some people fill that emptiness with distractions, with materialism. Some people fill that emptiness with money. Or they try. They try to fill it with power. They try to fill it with people. Having a lot of distractions, a lot of people, a lot of, you know, socializing. A lot of whatever it is to fill that emptiness. Some people try to fill it with their own children. This is also very deep. Some people take their children and put their children at the center of their hearts and their lives. And a lot of people don't tell you this. I'm going to tell you this secret. That is extremely dangerous. And it will cause excruciating pain. And your children will be the cause of your greatest pain if you put them in the wrong place.
Yes, ma'am.
If you put them in the wrong place, those same children that you're literally worshiping are going to be the one who causes you your pain. And no one has caused you pain like it before or since. And it's actually because you put them in that core, that empty spot that's supposed to be for God, that's supposed to be for Allah. And you put your child there. And no one told you that that was wrong. In fact, they called it love. They called it love. That you revolve your life around another human being, that's not love, it's worship. It's actually the meaning of taking an ilah. That's powerful stuff. And some people take that ilah as their own child. And they start to do tawaf around them. You know, this revolving your existence around your child. Some people do it with another person. Sometimes it's their spouse. Sometimes they take their spouse, especially when you know you first get married, right? And you think that this individual, this creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is going to fill every empty space you have inside you. And what happens to you? You get very disappointed.
Yes.
Am I right?
Yes.
You get very disappointed. Why? Because you're expecting the creation to be the creator. And then what happens is, you move on, you say, forget you. Now you have a child, you say, now it's going to be you. Whoa, now it's going to be you, right? Because you're useless now.
Right.
You totally couldn't fulfill me. Right. Well, because you're expecting something that isn't correct. And so you put that aside, you say, forget you. Now, I'm going to do it with my child. My child is going to fill that emptiness inside. My child is going to do it, and it's usually my son.
Yes.
Let's all be honest here.
Yes.
Yeah, my son, right? It's the same thing with all cultures. I know it's Arab culture, Desi culture. It's all the same. My son is going to fill this emptiness. But here's what no one is telling us. Only Allah can fill that emptiness. Only Allah can fill that empty hole. It's not going to be your career. You know, there's people who worship their careers. There are people who worship their business, worship their career, worship their money. Meaning, if they lose their money, they have no more reason to exist. Some people will commit suicide. Some people will commit suicide if someone breaks up with them. What is that? What is that actually? What's happening there? What's happening is that you took an object of worship other than Allah. You took a person, you took your career, you took your job, you took your money, you took your own child. And that person or that career ends up stabbing you. Not to be mean. Not to hurt you. The way I explain it, it's like putting orange juice in the gas tank. You know, if you have a car and you go to the gas tank, and you're like, okay, gas is expensive today, orange juice is on sale, I'm going to be really clever, and you fill your car with orange juice, who broke the car? Whose fault is it?
Yours.
Anyone? It's your fault. Yeah. Why? Because the gas tank is not made to hold orange juice. It's made to hold only one thing, yeah? We have a gas tank inside. That's the core of our hearts. And if you put orange juice in there, if you put your child in there, you put your son in there, you put your husband in there, your wife, your business, your job, your career, your ego, your image, your power, your... Huh, I'll give you another one. What other people think? That's a big one that we worship. We live our lives. What are people going to say? But what are people going to say? What are people going to do? We live our lives worshiping other people's opinions. That's a worship. We have to understand what La ilaha illallah really means. It means that only Allah fills that emptiness. Only Allah is at the core. Not my business, my money, my child, my spouse, my fiance, what other people think, social media, power, ego, image, whatever it is that we worship. Fashion, I mean, dude, some of us worship fashion. Fashion says, sami'na wa ata'na. You know what I'm saying? You guys understand what I'm saying? Fashion commands, we hear and we obey. I'm seeing a lot of that, especially with men's fashion, let's be honest. They're wearing tights now.
Yes.
Yeah, they're wearing tights.
Yes.
And you know what? They're not Peter Pan. And they're not, you know, Robin Hood, but they're wearing tights. And somehow it's okay because fashion said so. No one else seems to have a problem with this anymore.
No.
I still have a problem with it because I remember the days when men wore pants.
Yes. She's right, yep.
I remember. I still remember. Some of you are too young to remember. But I'm not. I'm actually old enough to remember when pants were pants. They aren't anymore. They aren't anymore. And at that time, 10 years ago, if you told a guy to put on tights, if you told a guy to put on what he now puts on, he'd be like, are you crazy?
Right.
What do you think I am exactly?
Yes.
Those are tights.
Yes.
Ain't it the truth?
Yes.
Okay, I'm going to leave that there. But the point is, we worship fashion. Sami'na wa ata'na, we hear and we obey. We do whatever fashion tells us to do. Here is my point. We have an emptiness inside, and it can only be filled with one thing. It's there because we were separated from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We began in Jannah, and we're hoping to go back there. That's our home. It's not here. This is a rest area. Dearborn is a rest area. Dunya is a rest area. We are going back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so our internally, we feel that separation. And so we need to fill it with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if we try to find it in anything else, we will fail. And we will suffer. أقول قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه غفور رحيم سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. Okay, جزاكم الله خيرا.